Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from Delta EE, the new energy experts. We'll be talking about how the energy transition is developing across Europe, with guests who are working at the leading edge of this transition. Hello, and welcome to the episode. Today, we're looking at smart meters. Everything's becoming smart these days. Smartphones, TVs, watches, even kitchen appliances. And, of course, electricity and gas meters are becoming smart. Now, smart meters have been rolled out in some countries across Europe and elsewhere. The Nordics, for example, have had smart meters installed for many years. Other countries, Germany is an example here, have a much slower approach without a coordinated national rollout plan for smart meters. And many countries are somewhere in the middle of those two points, starting or in the middle of smart meter rollout programs. And today we'll be looking at the experience of rolling out smart meters in the UK. Those of us immersed in the topic will know about the many benefits that smart meters can bring to the electricity and gas industry, but today we'll be focusing on more on customers, their perceptions, and what smart meters can do for them. Now, I'm joined by three fantastic guests today. Let's introduce them. So first of all, Rob Cheathright, Director of Corporate Affairs at Smart Energy GB. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Rob, thanks for joining us. Now, your organisation, Smart Energy GB, this is a government-backed campaign to roll out smart meters across the country. Can you tell us a bit more about what you and Smart Energy GB do?
Yeah, so the British rollout is very, very consumer focused, with a real focus on making sure that consumers directly benefit from getting their smart meter and a device in their home called an in-home display. And also the national infrastructure benefits are of vital importance to our energy infrastructure. So the government decided that there needed to be a national communications body to promote smart meters. So our job is to firstly raise awareness of the rollout, but then secondly, raise people's appetite to have them, with a particular focus on vulnerable consumers. Then finally, once consumers have got them, our job is to help people use them and reduce their energy use and CO2 as a result.
Great. Okay, well, we'll come back to that in a sec. My next guest is Chris Fleck, CTO at Onzo. Hello, Chris.
Hi, John. Thanks for the time to talk today.
And thanks for joining. So many of our listeners will have heard the phrase that data is a new oil. And if it is, then Onzo's in a good place, as you're an energy data analytics company. Can you tell us a bit about how Onzo's involved with smart meters?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we'd love to. So if I could provide a small amount of context around Onzo and what we do, and then I can go into a bit more detail about the kinds of energy retailers we work with and the kind of things we try and help them achieve.
Sure.
So Onzo is a UK-based software as a service business. And we perform analytics on smart meter data. We have energy retail clients in a number of European markets, including UK, Spain, Norway, Sweden, Netherlands, and also some of the earlier markets that are just beginning to open up, things like Austria, Estonia.
Okay. What would you do for those retail partners? So you take smart meter data, you perform analytics on it. Can you give our listeners a feel for then what you and your partners do with that?
Yeah, sure. So as a business, our vision is to influence every touch point an energy retailer has with its customers. And so what we mean by that is every time a consumer comes to an energy retailer, whether that's through a telephone call, through a web application, a mobile application, we want to have Onzo's analytic result set supporting that conversation to make it more meaningful and more relevant for the consumer. And I think today, if I look at utility interactions, lots of conversations are supported by operational data. So they're not very personalized, or they're supported by generalized demographic data. So it's hard to have a meaningful one-to-one interaction with your consumer. And so there's two angles in terms of how we're helping these retailers. Firstly, we're providing each utility with a data set around insight and consumption behavior, which can improve the way in which they engage with each of their customers. Mm-hmm. So you can start to have better relationships, better conversations around you and your personal situation and your energy consumption patterns. And that starts to drive better loyalty and reduced churn. But also from the utility perspective, this broader data set we generate allows them to understand, what does my customer base look like? What are they doing? And what propositions and offers make sense for them? And so therefore I can start to serve my customer base in a far more relevant way, because I actually understand how they're consuming our commodity products.
So what you're effectively doing then is driving a better customer experience by enabling electricity retailers to give their customers a better experience, better products, better services.
Yes, it's around trying to help the energy retailer differentiate themselves from everyone else selling the same commodity products. Yep. And if you're selling a commodity product, the only difference really is the service you provide to your clients, yep, consumers, and what you do around that.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Now, my final guest today is David Trevethick, our energy insights expert here at Delta EE. Hello, David.
Hello.
David, your work is, you're working with energy companies, technology companies across Europe on how value can be created from insights from smart meter data. If you stand back and look at that, how much focus do you think the energy sector has at the moment on using smart meters to bring new insights and services to customers, perhaps in the way Chris described, for example?
Yeah, the focus of innovation in the energy insights market has naturally started around sort of the major consumer pain points of bringing transparency and understanding energy bills, and has developed, you know, from there. But this is most often done via energy insights through apps and online portals, for instance, used by millions of consumers in the UK, you know, over 20 million in Europe. In the UK as well, you've got the in-home displays, which is another important consumer interface, as they're offered to all smart meter customers. So in some ways, the market is already at scale, but the energy insights market is still quite product-led, almost sort of looking for problems to solve. So there's still a way to go there. So the value that's generated is not always as clear or commercialized as we might expect. So I'd say the market is established, but there's still a long way to go to be considered mature.
So still a bit in the technology push mode, rather than being wholly in the how does this help our customers mode. Is that a fair characterization?
I think so. I think things are changing. I think it's becoming more customer focused. But yeah, there is still that element of product push for now. Yes.
Okay. Thanks, David. Rob, let's come back to you and the rollout of smart meters across Britain. So in Great Britain, they've gone down the route of rolling out smart meters via the energy retailer, and a combination of push and pull, push on the energy suppliers to offer smart meters to their customers and install them. But it does also rely on an element of customer pull. Can you tell us a bit more about this push-pull balance in Great Britain?
Yes, and so the first thing is that push element, I suppose. Energy suppliers have been mandated by the UK government to install smart meters as quickly as possible. And that was initially, the intent was to do that by the end of next year, but government has just consulted on moving that to the end of 2024. But the bigger, probably harder challenge in a way is, you know, consumers do then need to opt in a way that they haven't had to do in other parts of the world. And that is a really tough challenge, because the smart meter itself, except for prepayment customers, isn't a wonderful consumer product on its own. It's when you add in the data services and you add in the new products and technologies that it really becomes an amazing product, not only for the consumer and potentially saving them up to hundreds of pounds, but then also starts to provide the ability to help us get to net zero as an economy as a whole. So we've been sort of selling the foundation to the house to people, and they're not that impressed necessarily, but the house is yet to come, and then they will be. So in terms of where that leaves us, we're about a third of the way through the rollout, which is actually quite good. You know, a third of the way through digitizing our economy in terms of energy is quite impressive, but it does leave us a long way to go. So we do have to evolve as the rollout progresses. And one of the key things that has evolved is the way consumers think about this and the way we think about it as well. So when we first started on this journey 6 or so years ago, consumers weren't really interested in the bigger picture. You know, the change in the public appetite to think about climate change, and in this country, whether that's Extinction Rebellion, David Attenborough, and climate strikes, have really raised the kind of public willingness to think of the bigger picture in the last year or so. So there's been a real change in what consumers are prepared to listen to when it comes to engaging in what changes we need to make in our energy system. And then secondly, our evidence base has improved. So in fact, it's one of the key moments was a piece of work that Delft EE did for us, which was around the what does it mean for our energy system if we get smart meters, and the fact that that you know, getting to net zero will be slower, more piecemeal, more expensive, and potentially more risky without smart meters, and that is actually a real point of motivation that we can draw on, and we have really strong evidence for that. That meant that we have been able to shift our campaign less from where it was for the first few years, which is get a smart meter and you in your home can save some energy and you no longer have estimated energy bills, towards a yes, there are all of those things, but also you'll be playing your part in a bigger energy system change, and that means we can have electric vehicles, it means we can have smart products and services, you know, the things that can be done with the data to really provide you with a much, much, much better service. Those are the things that are probably really important, and we think are actually proving to be more motivating, maybe than certainly now in the rollout, than those initial, you know, just use your in-home display to save some energy. So we've been on a journey actually as part of this rollout, and there's a long way to go, but I think we're starting to get better at realizing what tools in our armory are going to be compelling. I still think at some point, sorry.
It sounds like you've got a very exciting job, Rob, but a hard job, because that, as you say, the message you're trying to communicate is, well, you could make it simple as you did at the beginning, get a smart meter, get accurate bills, for example, have an in-home display, but it could be quite complex as well when you're talking about the foundations for the future energy system. How well did that first message land with customers in terms of get a smart meter, get accurate bills, and in-home display? Did that motivate customers? What were their concerns? What did you learn from that more simple message in the early days?
I think that more simple message motivated a large number of customers, and we were finding that we were creating levels of demand for the product that far outstripped energy suppliers' ability to actually fulfill that demand. But it was only so motivating. It worked well for some consumer segments and not all. So we've had to evolve over time. So, you know, the idea of saving, you know, £30 on your energy bill from making manual choices in your home, that is quite motivating for some, but it's just not going to motivate. Or equally, it's a low interest category energy, except for those of us probably listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not inherently motivated about what is under their stairs in terms of their energy meter. And so a pure savings message was only going to work for a chunk of the audience, and then we do have to think about what else. You know, in the long run, government is probably going to have to be brave around more stick-like methods at dealing with consumers. So we have done as good a job as we think can be done in terms of educating customers about the benefits, but I think there will have to be an element of enforcement that takes the last chunk of the population through to completing this energy system transition.
What have you learned, Rob, about suspicions that customers have? Because in Britain, energy companies don't always have the best brand, aren't always viewed as with the levels of trust they maybe could be. So what have you learned about the suspicions that customers have about having a smart meter installed?
So I think they have been a group of customers who, broadly speaking, when you're talking about use a smart meter to save you energy, wonder why an energy supplier is the one giving you that, when it seems like it would be in their interest to sell you more of that product, not less. So I think there has been a little bit of that. The big thing that's reduced demand for smart meters has been some of the technical issues that the rollout has suffered with. So what we see in the data is slightly different to what we were expecting, because we were expecting, when we looked at other international rollouts to see things like data privacy concerns be the big thing that would reduce demand. And we know from the early experience of the Netherlands rollout that that was an issue that they faced. But actually, that's been a relatively low level. That's not to say there aren't data and security concerns, but it's been relatively low level. The big thing that's happened over time is as there have been sort of teething issues with the technology, shall we say, that has led to a poor consumer experience for some, and then that gets into the press, and that leads to a general sense that the technology doesn't work as well as it should. And that's been the big consumer suspicion that we've been having to explain. And in a way, you can't disagree with that, because it's true. You can't say, no, you're wrong. We have to say, yes, the journey is difficult, but the destination is worth it. And that's why some of the bigger picture messaging has become so crucial to us, and why messages about climate change and the needs of our energy infrastructure in the 21st century have become more important. Because you can't say, this is about you saving energy, but it's not working well. They kind of go, well, I don't really want to do it then. If you say the journey's been difficult, but the destination is non-negotiable, well, then you can start to convince some people.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating to hear about that journey you've been on. We'll come back to you, Rob. But Chris, I'd like to bring you in at this point and explore in a bit more detail the way that smart meters and, well, in particular, smart meter data can help customers. Could break it down into two ways. First, how smart meter data can directly help customers. And secondly, what you were saying at the beginning about how smart meter data can help energy retailers to help their customers or better serve their customers. Could you sort of illustrate a couple of sort of real life tangible examples for our listeners about some of the work you're doing and how it falls into one or two of those categories I described?
Yeah, sure. So let me start with how we can directly help consumers through our technology. And so step one, at a very basic level, is helping to raise awareness for consumers. So for example, we have a home energy dashboard product, which our energy retail customers can use. And that can show consumers what's going on inside your home. So it provides a view of categories of consumption. It gives you calendarization of consumption. So I can see, what are my high consuming days? What are my low consuming days? and this tool is being used in the UK to help drive smart meter take up. Mm-hmm. So a generic version of this report or dashboard is provided to consumers with the offer of, if you give us 30-minute consent for data, we will make this dashboard live and real and personal to your home.
Okay.
And so we're working with a number of big six to try and help encourage consumers to see the benefit of smart meters and the data they provide and the awareness and information. For me, that feels quite basic, but it's still interesting for our customers.
It's a good step, It's more than they've had in the past, but maybe not as much as they can get in the future.
Yeah. For me, where things start to get really interesting are some of our advanced analytics. So, for example, one thing we do is anomaly detection. So we're looking for unusual patterns of consumption inside a home. And internally within Onzo, we call these analytics detection of unusual consumption, or duck. And so we have a gas duck and we have an electric duck.
Yeah.
And these algorithms are looking for significant changes in your house, in your personal consumption patterns. And the aim is to provide alerts to the energy retailer about individual homes where we think something may be going wrong or adrift.
And what might that something be? Is it like a
product? Let me give you an example. So there's a real life example is one of the big six has had a consumer in the UK, and their gas boiler had broken down. And so, like most UK homes, they have an immersion heater, which can heat up a large volume of hot water. Mm-hmm. So the consumer switches on the immersion heater and leaves that running for a longish period of time. And whilst that's running, they then go and get the boiler replaced. And so they have a brand new gas boiler installed, and they completely forget they've left the immersion heater running. Analytics spot that they've got a lot of energy being consumed, and it's a significant change. So we generated an alert that went back to the retailer. They informed the consumer. The consumer came back and said, thank you so much. I'd completely forgotten about the immersion heater. I switched it off. And so from a customer, looking after your customer's perspective, you've now got a customer that probably feels like my retailer, maybe not as far as loves me, but they're looking after me.
They care for me, yeah.
In a very meaningful way, which is far, far different to what they do today without smart meter data.
Yeah. Thanks.
And then more importantly, I think the climate crisis and energy reduction is really, really important. And so we've done, for example, trials which have been monitored by Imperial College, which have proven that with Onzo's technology and with smart meters, we've proven a 4 to 12% reduction in energy consumption. And then right now we're running a trial with a different big six in the UK around voice assistance and how we can use voice assistant technology to help consumers drive down energy consumption.
Okay. And that 4 to 12% reduction that you mentioned from the trial, the sorts of things you'd be doing there, just one example of if I'm a customer, what would I be doing? What would I get that would help me to reduce my consumption?
It's awareness. So we're almost, the Onzo technology is almost competing with the in-home displays.
Yeah, okay.
But through broader channels, so through mobile, through web.
Yeah.
So we can provide it in ways that are perhaps a bit more convenient for consumers. Yeah. You're not reliant on a specific device. It's on your phone. It's on your laptop or PC.
Okay.
Chris,
I'll come back to another example in a minute, but just wanting to keep an eye on time, which goes faster in podcasts than in real life. David, when you look across Europe, as you do, what examples have you seen that really stand out about how smart meters and smart meter data are being used to delight customers, in addition to the sorts of things Chris has talked about?
Well, delighting customers is a great aspiration. And while there are examples, and Chris gave a fantastic one there, it's hard to achieve this really at scale in such a sort of low engagement sector. Mm-hmm. So we've developed a sort of customer engagement maturity model to help explain the sort of different stages of bringing the energy customer on this new energy transition. And looking beyond the old ways of the very sort of transactional relationships and operational efficiency of the past, you've got customer engagement, which is around to helping customers understand their energy consumption and spend. So this is a big step forward, but it's still rooted in past behavior.
Yep.
So energy consumers don't just want to understand their bills and be informed about their energy consumption, which has already happened. They want to be empowered to make good energy decisions in the moment, in the present. So some examples are around things like sort of high bill alerts or linking consumption to smart thermostat settings to act on the energy insights sort of generated. You have sort of budget and sort of energy sort of coaches, and there are various examples around that that really helps things in the present. But we can take that a step further forward and a more sort of future thinking end of the spectrum. There's innovation there around sort of moving beyond this customer empowerment, and smart meters play a really important role in enabling this sort of transformation of customer relationships through what we term sort of customer collaboration, whereby there's an ecosystem of partners to the customer in bringing their sort of new energy world of optimized self-generation of and energy trading and these sorts of things that are going to go on in the future. So we're not there yet, and there are sort of different stages that people are at and a long way to go. But, you know, the path forward, if you like, is clear in how that transition is developing and the innovation is picking up.
And if I had to ask you, David, on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 is the very beginning of that sort of spectrum or journey you set out, and 10 is some kind of nirvana in the future, where smart meter data is part of that new way of companies and customers collaborating together, self-consuming, smart charging of electric vehicles, peer-to-peer models, where would you say we are on that 0 to 10 scale at the moment, if you had to generalize?
It's always difficult to do that. I mean, yes, in terms of technology, you know, some of the stuff's there. So, you know, in theory, things are possible, but actually, you know, is it in the market at scale? No. So if that's your sort of benchmark, I would say perhaps like a 3 or something like that. So there's a long way to go about doing this regularly at scale. But, you know, you can see the direction of travel and how that can be done because, as I say, the technology for the most part exists.
Chris, if I ask you that 0 to 10 question, I mean, you might be more you're on some of the leading edge of this, so you may be more ambitious, but where would you say the energy sector as a whole in the countries you're working in is that on that scale?
Well, it's interesting, actually, that David talks about a maturity model, because we also think about a maturity model, but really more at a country level. And if you know, lots of maturity models run at typically five tiers. And so we consider level one, like an initial adoption of smart meter technology and getting an understanding of what it does, how you can use it. We see UK, Ireland, Germany, Austria in that, where you're just beginning to get going, just starting to figure out what can I do, and just starting to engage consumers with some of the basic tools that we've talked about today. Level two, so which in our view is exploratory. So you now fully smart metered, and you're beginning to make real and interesting use of that data. And so for me, that's countries like Netherlands, Spain, the Nordics, where behavior analytics, segmentation, voice interaction are starting to become more prevalent. Mm-hmm. And levels three, four, and five, right now, I'm not sure I see anyone in that category. I think it's, as David said, it's very early in the journey overall. And I think I'm almost looking and trying to find interesting clients that we work with to see where might they fit and what does three, four, and five look like in terms of a definition. So certainly very early in that journey overall.
Well, I think that if you think of your level five levels of maturity on a 10-point scale, then I think we come at it about a similar to David, a three probably, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Obviously country dependent. And Rob, how on, I don't know if you want to give a score for UK, but when you hear what David and Chris have said, how do you feel the UK is doing or GB is doing on this journey?
I think I completely agree with David and Chris. Three is probably not far off. But what I am seeing is sort of the green shoots of this starting to emerge. And for us as a consumer engagement body, that's really important because we need real things to talk about. So when I see, customers of one supplier putting graphs on Twitter showing that they're paying 3 pence per kilowatt hour for their energy rather than about 13, 14 pence per kilowatt hour that the rest of us are because they've got a smart meter, a time of use tariff, and an electric vehicle, I kind of look at that and go, brilliant, there's stuff starting to emerge. So I'm actually, with each passing day, I hear more and more examples of things. I've seen it in a university, a kettle that links into the grid. And so you can actually sell energy back to the grid from your kettle when, we're in peak times and things like that. So whether it's data and products and services, I think it's getting more and more sophisticated all the time, but it's from a pretty low base.
Yeah.
But that's what's exciting. I think we're on the cusp of a revolution in its early days, but the revolution's coming.
Well, I share your excitement, Rob, because I think you could look at that 3 out of 10 score and be depressed. But on the other hand, we're on a journey here. We've got new infrastructure, new data, new possibilities, and look at
exactly
the opportunity to move up from 3 out of 10 to 10 out of 10. So I think it's a hugely exciting time. Now, it's that time of the podcast where I bring out the talking new energy crystal ball and we look into the future. But in a way, we have been looking into the future already. So I'm going to ask you each one question to finish off with, and if you could give a brief answer. If we look 5 years ahead, and you can answer this from a European or UK or whatever viewpoint you want, we've already mapped out some of what the future may look like, the exciting use cases, the way smart meter data may be helping customers or helping retailers to help customers. But I want to ask you each, what you think is the biggest challenge to moving from the 3 out of 10 we are now up to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 out of 10? So what do you think the biggest challenge is in the next 5 years, and from whatever perspective you want? Rob, let's start with you.
I think the biggest challenge we face over the next 5 years in the UK is the nature of the retail energy market is in a state of flux that I've never really experienced before, in that we've essentially got probably five of the big six have admitted that they would probably happily sell their business to someone else. We've got fast growing companies sort of in the middle who are actually very innovative and offering things like time of use tariffs. And then we've got lots of small companies, but actually some of them are falling out of the market. So we are going to have a contraction in our energy retail market over the next 5 years. And in that space, the nervousness I suppose I have is that if people are focusing on their existential future, whether they will exist or not as a company, how can they focus really well on providing these new products and services? So I think the big challenge is probably making sure that there's breathing space in our leadership in the market to really focus on delivering the products and services that we need, not just to help people save tons of money, but also to get to net zero. So I think the market is so fascinating at the moment, it risks actually being a bit of a barrier to us doing this at full speed.
Okay. Chris, how about you?
So I think there are some really, really significant trends shaping the way in which consumers engage with every kind of business, not just energy retailers. I think apps are clearly huge today. But for me, I think voice is probably the most significant thing coming and the investment that's going into it. And so if, you know, 5 years' time, voice is perhaps one of the most significant ways you might interact with every business. For energy retailers, I think the real challenge is data consent, the fact that consumers have power over, I do or do not want to give you my data, and caution, consumer caution around, do I want my information to be shared and used in this way? I think those two big challenges to get around.
So helping the energy retailers have to help consumers feel safe. They have to build that trust.
Yes, absolutely.
And David, how about you? Biggest challenge to go shooting up that 10-point scale we talked about?
Yeah, in some ways it's echoing what's been said before about sort of customer engagement. Our customer research we've done across Europe shows that there's not one sort of killer application. Consumers have different circumstances, different criteria, different levels of interest. So, you know, splitting out sort of, for instance, give me one example, splitting out electricity and heating costs in one room might be a compelling use case for perhaps a home worker for financial or tax purposes, but this won't have mainstream appeal. Mm-hmm. So some things will be relevant to some people at different times than others. So solutions really are needed that combine a range of use cases, considering like the various apps on your smartphone, for instance, and you place different value on each of those at different times in different households. So that's, I think, one of the core challenges is to kind of cram in lots of different use cases and benefits, but keeping simplicity and intuitiveness at its core, because solutions need to consider how easy it is for consumers to use and what level of control or automation to either provide for consumers or take on behalf of those consumers. So I think that's quite a big challenge going forward.
Okay. Well, that's us reached time for this podcast. So I think it's been a fascinating discussion. We're on a very much on a journey here. It's been a great insight into the UK, into Onzo and how you're working with energy retailers across Europe. And David, thanks for sharing some of your views from your work working across European energy sector. So I look forward to the next years and seeing the sector mature and grow and go shooting up that 10-point scale we talked about. Thank you very much, Rob, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
John, thank you. Very exciting times ahead.
There are. And thanks, David.
Thank you.
Okay. And last but not least, thanks to all our listeners for joining. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today and look forward to welcoming you back next week. Goodbye.